Welcome back, everybody, into Bill's Chat. I am Josh McCarty. I am flying solo on this episode of Bill's Seahawks postgame. Luca had something come up at the last minute. But you know what? This is one of those episodes where I think there's a lot to get into. The Bills win 31-10 to improve to 6-2 on the year. And I mean, when you look at the rest of the AFC East, I think you can start printing those AFC East championship t-shirts pretty quickly, because we'll get into it. But when you look around the league today, a lot of favorable results for our Buffalo Bills. But we're going to start with the one that involved our Buffalo Bills getting a 31-10 victory in Seattle. And this game was all week long. I thought this game just had a weird vibe to it. You know, the Seahawks are a team that this year they went to Atlanta, who's a good team, and just absolutely pounded them. But then at home, they've lost to the New York Giants on a day where they were playing without Malik Nabers. So the Seahawks kind of had a Jekyll and Hyde thing going on. I wanted to pick the Bills all week. I ended up settling on thinking the Bills would win. I was very nervous about this matchup because of how good I believe this Seattle Seahawks defensive line is. And my biggest takeaway from this game in the Bills dominating victory, we can talk about Josh Allen, how he goes out there and very calmly in a rainstorm throws for 283 yards and 2 touchdowns. We can talk about James Cook, ho-hum, 6.5 yards per carry, 111 yards rushing, 2 rushing touchdowns. We can talk about Khalil Shakir, 9 receptions, 107 yards. We can talk about Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid finding the end zone. We can talk about the defense who held the Seahawks to 10 points without Terrell Bernard and Dwayne Carter. But what I want to talk about with this Bills team is the big picture. This, to me, was a view of the ceiling. This, to me, showed me why this team can win in January meaningfully. And no, the Seahawks are, I think, are an average football team, particularly without DK Metcalf. Okay, so it's not about the fact that they dominated the Seahawks. It's how they dominated the Seahawks. At the line of scrimmage, in their building, in what is supposedly one of the loudest stadiums in the entire NFL, the Bills, James Cook averaged 6.5 yards per carry. That says something about the offensive line. Kenneth Walker averaged 1.3 yards per carry. Seattle Seahawks running backs on 12 carries averaged 1.3 yards per carry. The Bills are a team, for many years when we get to the playoffs, we look at the weather and we're like, man, I don't know if this team's built to win in the cold weather, built to win in the elements, built to win smash mouth. We know Josh Allen is great, okay? That's a given. When he makes the highlight reel plays today, those are fun, but we know that the Bills have that club in their bag. What we saw today was further proof that this is the best offensive line Josh Allen has ever played with, the best running game Josh Allen has ever played with, and I'm starting to think, despite all of the massive losses that the Bills had on defense, this is going to be, when it's all said and done, one of the best defenses Josh Allen has ever played with. And when you put it all together and you still remember you have the Josh Allen Superman cape in the bag that he can pull out anytime the team needs it, that's when you can start dreaming big. That's when you can start thinking about the ultimate prize. Because when you get to January, everybody has a good quarterback. Everybody has a dude or two on their team that makes super, super unique plays that only a couple guys at their position are capable of making. But the overall team is what usually pushes all the way through. Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid get all the shine, and they are fantastic. But a lot of us have been noticing for a while, the Chiefs defense is creeping up on all-time great level defense under Steve Spagnuolo. The Chiefs' offensive line, particularly on the interior, the best interior offensive line in the sport. What the Bills have going right now with their offensive line, what they're able to do on defense, despite not even being fully formed because every week they seem to be down one or two key players, is the kind of thing that makes you think this team can be more than just one win and done in the playoffs. And that gets me excited. Let's talk about the game. I looked at this game today and I felt like it's one of those things where I'm almost jealous of people that get to talk about this from a Seattle Seahawks perspective. What an annoying game this must be as a Seahawks fan, content creator, talk show host, podcast host, whatever you want to call it. I liken this game for the Seahawks to the 2015 Rex Ryan's first year, week three game, Bills versus Patriots in Buffalo. You had one team, the Patriots, that had just done nothing but win. Now look, when I give this analogy, we all have to understand the Patriots had been collecting Super Bowls. The Bills, nothing but win, is not the high of the high, but they've been a team that since 2020 has been to an AFC championship game. They've made the playoffs every single year since 2019, and they're one of two teams in the entire sport to win at least one playoff game every year since 2020. They've gone toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. This is not a team that's going to be intimidated by a little rain and a loud stadium in Seattle in October. And I think the Seahawks were trying to measure up against the Bills and ended up looking a lot like that Bills team did back in 2015. If you remember that game, the sound barrier game, how loud the Bills home crowd was going to be. And boy, the Bills started off great. The Seahawks did not today. In that game, the Bills started off great. They went down and scored right away, and they even got a three and out. And the crowd was loud. The crowd was into it. But there were signs even early in that game that the Bills might just be a little too hyped up. The Bills might be a little over their skis. Aaron Williams taking bad penalties to extend drives. And Tom Brady and Julian Edelman just calmly moving the chains and making the Bills defense look like Swiss cheese out there. And by the end of the game, it was like, okay, well, this was like the biggest game of our season. And for the Patriots, it was just another regular season game. And despite how much trash the players talked, how much trash the fans talked, one team came in here looking like they were ready for the moment and used to the moment. And another team came in here pretending like they were ready for the moment and ended up looking like chumps. On that day, the Bills were chumps. On this day, the Seahawks very much looked like chumps. Several examples of that. Very first drive of the game. First chump move for the Seahawks. Tariq Woolen, one of my ultimate draft crushes. The year the Bills drafted Kaiir Elam, I wanted the Bills to take Tariq Woolen in the fourth round. In the first round, excuse me. He ended up falling to the fourth round. So I'm not like some brilliant draft mind, okay? I've made plenty of mistakes. In fact, I want to say even Joe Marino thought that the Bills should take him in the first round. He was a polarizing player. Luca and I loved him, and he's turned into a star in this league. First drive of the game, the Bills are down in the red zone. After holding the Seahawks to a three and out, the Bills are slicing and dicing through the Seahawks defense. Josh Allen on first down in the red zone throws a fade ball to Keon Coleman. Tariq Woolen knocks it away and gets up and starts taunting Keon Coleman. Okay, noted. Noted. Two plays later, guess who's matched up on Keon Coleman again? Tariq Woolen. This time they throw the fade ball again, and this time Keon Coleman comes down with it in the end zone. 7-0, one of the best catches you'll see on a fade route. And Keon Coleman, a rookie, looks at the Pro Bowl cornerback in Tariq Woolen, pats him on the head as if to say, attaboy, you tried your best. It was hilarious. I thought the ref might throw a flag, but what were you going to charge Keon Coleman with? I'm sure the words that came out of his mouth were encouraging. It was the ultimate patronizing move by Keon Coleman. Are you going to flag him for patronizing? I loved it. And right off the bat, Tyreek Woolen looks like a chump. So the game continues a little bit longer. The Bills are holding a 7-0 lead. The Seahawks are driving on the Bills. And we get to a third down in the, I want to say, okay, I want to make sure I have my sequences correct here. Yes, third down, or second down in Bills territory, deep in Bills territory. Shotgun snap goes over Geno Smith's head. Ball goes 20 yards backwards. Okay, not being ready for the moment. I mean, that's just choking. When you fire a shotgun snap 5 feet over your quarterback's head, that's an execution mistake. That's an air mistake. That's not being ready for the moment. And the Seahawks go from being on the doorstep of getting a touchdown and tying the game up to being very lucky that Kenneth Walker picked the ball up, managed to still gain like 5 or 6 yards, and then get them back into field goal range so they can make it 7-3. So we now have three drives into the game, or, you know, four drives, because the Bills had gone out three and out then. So now we're back to the Seahawks next drive. You have the Tariq Woolen incident, and now you have the Seahawks shooting themselves in the foot. So the next time the Bills have the ball, the Bills make a mistake. Josh Allen throws his first interception of the year. This is a play where Amari Cooper is just breaking on a standard in route, and he slips. It's a slippery field. We saw a lot of slipping today. And the slippage allows for the cornerback, Josh Job, to get the leverage on Josh Allen, depending on your thoughts of it. I thought Josh Allen should have seen that, but it's so much easier to see on your TV. He threw it. Maybe he didn't see it before he threw it. Job intercepts it and gets a very good return. Credit to the Bills getting him down to the ground. But the Bills, to their credit, the defensive credit, get it to fourth down on the one-yard line, and Geno Smith trips over his offensive lineman's foot to basically self-sabotage the drive and get sacked. And the Bills' interception, first interception of the year, awards the Seahawks all of 0 points. So the half goes on. We're seeing both teams have a lot of trouble holding onto the ball. There's a play where Josh Allen's scrambling for a first down. The ball slips out of his hands and it bounces off his foot, falls forward. And I believe it's Ray Davis who covers the ball for a first down. I mean, very lucky for sure. But in that spot, you're already thinking, okay, what you can't do in this game is you can't give your opponent opportunities. This is a game where turnovers are absolutely going to decide it. This is a game where dumb penalties are absolutely going to decide it. And the Bills on that drive down and get a touchdown right before half to give themselves a nice, comfy 14-3 lead at halftime. But there was a play in that drive where the chump Seahawks showed back up. It's third down at, I think, like the 26-yard line. It was, you know, with the way the weather was, it was one of those situations. I don't know the exact yardage marker, but I know my thought before the play was, if they don't gain yardage here, I don't feel good about a Tyler Bass field goal in these conditions. And as soon as the ball is snapped, you see that Ty Johnson and Khalil Shakir are both in motion. Two flags come out, and you're thinking, well, this play is not going to go anywhere. So Josh Allen scrambles around, throws it out of bounds, and all of a sudden there's another flag thrown, and it was the Seattle Seahawks defensive end Derek Hall called with roughing the passer, throwing Josh Allen to the ground, negating the penalty on the Bills, extending the drive, giving the Bills a first down that ultimately led to a scramble where Josh Allen finds Dalton Kincaid, for a touchdown to give the Bills a 14-3 lead. And then you even see Jaron Reed on the Seahawks screaming at Derek Hall after that play. Because 14-3 in a normal NFL environment doesn't have to be a death knell, particularly with two offenses like the Bills and the Seahawks. But the way the Bills defense had been looking to this point, the way the weather conditions were, 14-3 felt like a significant lead in that game. And the Seahawks just handed them the opportunity to score seven when they had just stopped them to a point where they were going to have to kick a very difficult field goal with a shaky field goal kicker already in Tyler Bass in terrible conditions. It could have legitimately been 7-3 Bills if Tyler Bass misses that kick, with the Seahawks having a shot with about a minute left to drive down and get points before halftime. But instead, the Bills drive down and get points. Dumb stuff. It's pretending to be good, pretending to be ready for the moment against a team that was just built for the moment. And that's what we saw all day today. I'm blown away by what the Bills defense did with Kenneth Walker. Kenneth Walker, for my money, is one of the best running backs in the entire sport. He was my running back one the year that Breece Hall came out. I didn't think that the Bills should have taken Kenneth Walker over Breece Hall had they had the opportunity to take one of them, because I thought Breece Hall profiled as somebody that could help you in the running game, but also in the passing game, which we've seen him be able to do in New York. But Kenneth Walker this year has turned into a dynamic pass catcher in this league. And I think, by the time it's all said and done at the end of this year, he's going to be thought of in the same breath as guys like Saquon Barkley. I mean, Derrick Henry's in another stratosphere than everybody else right now, but in the same breath as guys like Saquon Barkley. I think he's that good. He wasn't that good today. 9 carries, 12 yards. Now, interesting note about the Seahawks. All week long, when it was trending toward Terrell Bernard being out, a lot of us still scorn from what we saw in Baltimore. We're thinking, oh my God, Kenneth Walker is going to run all over us. And it makes sense, right? Like, one of the best fantasy football players, Kenneth Walker, a Bills run defense down their best linebacker, best two linebackers, Matt Milano's still out. Why wouldn't they run it down your throat? Well, when you take a deep dive into the Seahawks, that's not what they do. They are the pass happiest team in the entire NFL. They actually do not run the ball effectively when they run it. Kenneth Walker just puts up stats in both areas, catching the ball and running the ball. And that's why fantasy-wise, he's great. While efficiency-wise, the Seahawks are not a good running team. That's one thing I thought about this game. Could the Seahawks be patient with the run game? Because you know what the Bills are going to do. They're going to come out and play nickel defense. They're not going to stack the box, and they're going to dare you to be patient with the running game. But what we saw today was it didn't matter if the Seahawks were going to be patient or not with the running game. When you average 1.3 yards per carry, patience has to go out the window. That's 12 runs the Seahawks had where they got a grand total of 16 yards out of it. At that point, you're running into a wall. A fantastic job by the Bills defense. Just a terrific job on a day that many people doubted them. Many people weren't sure what it was going to look like. This Bills defense has answered the bell. I want to go back. I'm doing this while I'm talking to you. Bills schedule here. Because I was thinking about this before I came down to record. I'm recording Sunday night, for those who wonder. When you look at the Bills' last three and a half games, okay? Seahawks, Titans, Jets, and the second half of the Texans game. 3.5 games. The Bills defense in 3.5 games has given up 1, 2, 3 touchdowns that weren't a Hail Mary at the end of the half. 3 touchdowns that weren't a Hail Mary. That's pretty good. 3.5 games against C.J. Stroud, Aaron Rodgers, the Titans, okay, the Titans, and the Seahawks, the division-leading Seahawks. They've given up 3 touchdowns if you don't count the Hail Mary. You want to count the Hail Mary, it's 4 touchdowns, it's still great. We all know what a Hail Mary is, although Bears fans, we feel you. We feel you today. Boy, Tremaine Edmonds is going to have some PTSD when he retires from Hail Marys ending games. Whew. But the defense has done a bang-up job this year. just an absolutely bang up job. They held the Dolphins to 10 points, and Tua played the majority of that game. That game will largely be forgotten for everything else but the fact that Tua left that game early. And I do think that it inaccurately gets lumped in with the rest of the Dolphins games that took place after Tua got hurt. But the reality of that is the Bills held the Tua Dolphins to one touchdown in about 3.5 quarters before Tua ultimately exited that game. The two teams this entire season that have managed to have offensive success against the Bills are the Arizona Cardinals week one and the Baltimore Ravens, who have offensive success against basically everybody. That's two teams in eight games. This defense is phenomenal. A defense that has played chunks of games this season without Terrell Bernard, without Ed Oliver, without Taron Johnson. Matt Milano hasn't been around. They had to play the last four games without Von Miller. And they keep answering the bell. Taylor Rapp missed a game in there. This season is one of Sean McDermott's best coaching jobs from a defensive mindset. What he has done with this group is incredible. There's going to be people that say, who have they beaten? The Jets stink. The Dolphins stink. The one good team they played, the Ravens, ran it up and down the field on them. Yeah, I hear all of that, okay? I totally understand it. But you can only play who you play. And the fact remains, in the last 3.5 games, they've given up 3 offensive touchdowns that weren't a Hail Mary. They're 6-2. And as I mentioned before, the rest of the division has 2 wins each. The Dolphins lose today. They get Tua back. It felt like a homecoming game for Miami. We're back. We're back. Everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be just fine. Tua's back. The problem is Tua comes back. It fixes a lot of things. It certainly does. The quarterback play that the Dolphins got without Tua was embarrassing. They could not complete forward passes. But when you look under the hood of this Dolphins team, their issues went further than just inserting a competent, Tua is better than competent, but you hear what I'm saying, like a competent quarterback under center. They are an undisciplined team. They make all kinds of mental mistakes pre-snap. And defensively, they just have this ability to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And you saw it today when the Cardinals, of all teams, drive down on their home field and get a game-winning field goal to knock the Dolphins to 2-5. But, alas, that was not the funniest result from a Bills perspective today on the out-of-town scoreboard, as those New York Jets, who fired Robert Saleh now, what was this? They fired him 3 games ago? I'm starting to lose count. 3 games ago? Let's go to the old Jets record here. They fired him before the Bills game. The Jets right now are on a 1-2-3-4 delicious 5-game losing streak. The all-in Jets, the Super Bowl or bust Jets, are sitting here right now at 2-5. Their 2 wins this year are a 1-score win over the Will Levis Tennessee Titans. We saw them last week without Will Levis, with a better quarterback, and a New England Patriots team that was missing 4/5 of their offensive line. Okay. You only play who you play. Other than that, they've lost to the Niners, the Broncos, the Vikings, the Bills, the Steelers, and then today they get a rematch with those same Patriots teams that did have their offensive line intact. They did have Drake May for a little bit. He gets knocked out of the game with a concussion. In comes Jacoby Brissett, and the Jets still find a way to lose the game. Time management issues. Greg Zuerlein, for as much as we hate Tyler Bass, Jets fans actually have it worse with their kicker. Greg Zuerlein has just every single week seems to miss a big kick for this team. And they let Jacoby Brissett and the Patriots drive down at the end of the game for a game-winning touchdown. It was very reminiscent of last year's Bills-Patriots game in Foxborough, where Mac Jones drives down and throws a game-winning touchdown to Mike Gesicki, and we all have that moment where we're questioning, what are we doing with our lives right now watching this? What is this? What is going on? Well, what's going on for the Bills is this was supposed to be a year from the outside perspective where the Bills were going to take a step back. And these AFC East teams that have been waiting for the Bills to take a step back, we're finally going to get their opportunity to win this division. The Bills have been winning this division since 2020. The division is here for the taking. It's going to be the Jets year. It's going to be the Dolphins year. The Patriots finally have a quarterback. Like, look out, Bills. You're going to get yours this year. The Bills are 6-2. The Patriots, not the Patriots. Nobody expected anything from the Patriots. The Dolphins and the Jets each have 2 wins. I was listening to a little Jets post game today. I enjoy their misery. And Connor Rogers, who I respect his football opinion almost as much as anybody that covers the entire sport, not just for Jets takes, but for draft takes, but for NFL takes, I think he's one of the best analysts that exist in NFL coverage. That's how much I think of him. Level-headed. Connor Rogers, on October 27th, starts off the show by pronouncing the Jets dead. If he says that, I listen. Bart Scott pronounced the Jets dead. He's a former player, okay? Former players generally roll their eyes when media and podcasts and fans are like, oh, we're dead. Like, former players are like, hey, one game at a time. You know, all it takes is one win to get you going. You have a Bart Scott, a former player. Connor Rogers, one of the best in the industry. Both like, yep, they're dead. So I think when you look at it realistically, they had to start going on a run and they just threw away arguably the easiest game they had left on their schedule. Hard to live with, but that's their problems, not ours. Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman is developing into an amazing weapon for Josh Allen. I still don't know if I believe in my mind that Keon Coleman is ever going to be a number one receiver for Josh Allen. Maybe he will be. I don't know that I don't believe he will, but I can't say with full confidence that he will be. In a lot of ways, I kind of view Keon Coleman like I viewed T. Higgins in Joe Burrow's first year. He's obviously a dude. He's obviously a playmaker, and he's obviously going to matter a lot for the Bills while he's here for a while, hopefully for like 12 years. But I still think there's room for more. And maybe next offseason, if the Bills don't retain Amari Cooper, they find their Jamar Chase to pair with their T. Higgins. And then that leaves Khalil Shakir as your Tyler Boyd, and boy, oh boy, are you cooking with gas. But Keon Coleman had several times today where it just feels like he doesn't look like a rookie. And that's incredible because he's 21 years old. And he used to play college basketball. I'm not saying he's a raw football player, but it's just like the talent this kid has, the mindset this kid has, and the maturity he's showing at such a young age, it's so impressive. Anybody who still wants to pile on the Bills for, can you believe the Bills took Keon Coleman when they could have taken Xavier Worthy? You're just not watching the games. Xavier Worthy, I'm going to sit here right now and predict that 5 years from now, Xavier Worthy and Keon Coleman is going to be the newest version of the Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen debate. Now, I don't expect both of these players to be two of the three best in the sport. Maybe they will be. But I think it's going to be a situation where the teams are largely happy with the player they have. They're both very effective at the roles that they do. And there will be a segment of fans that no matter what happens, no matter how good their guy is, they get more enjoyment out of thinking that the other team should regret that they didn't take their guy. You see it all the time with Ravens and Bills fans. It's super tiring. Oh, the Bills, Josh Allen throws an interception. Oh, well,
I was told by Bills fans that Josh Allen is the real MVP.
Or Bills fans go out there and after Lamar Jackson just tears up the who'd they play last week? The Buccaneers. And they start throwing out the Taron Johnson interception gifs like, oh, Josh Allen would never. It's just like you can enjoy both. Like the Bills and Ravens are super lucky to have both of these guys. But, you know, it turns into a pissing contest. It's the worst thing about Twitter. I'm going to turn off my camera 1 second for the benefit of YouTube. I did not want you all to see that I had to cough and blow my nose, just to be honest with you, having a little bit of allergy issues. So Keon Coleman had the issue, had the play with Tariq Woolen. Fantastic. He had a play where there's a running play going around Twitter where he blocks Job into the ground and then points at him, which is fantastic. He had a play where he blocked a cornerback into the bench. And that wasn't even my favorite Keon Coleman play, either of the three plays I mentioned, the touchdown, the pancake block, or the blocking the player into the bench. My favorite Keon Coleman play today was a play where he was lined up in the slot. The Seahawks bring zero blitz. And Josh Allen throws an absolute truss ball up the seam to Keon Coleman. There are four Seahawks in the area. He is not quadruple covered. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, though, is if that ball bounces off of Keon Coleman's hands and goes any direction other than winding up in his hands, I would say the odds are about 85% that it's going to land in the lap of a Seahawk. And that is a truss ball, folks. That is Josh Allen throwing a truss ball to Keon Coleman, and he came down with it. It's not just the plays that Keon Coleman is starting to make on a weekly basis. It's the fact that Josh Allen trusts him to make those plays. And that is how a quarterback wide receiver duo goes from being, they're kind of fun, to dangerous. They're getting dangerous. Keon Coleman wasn't even the most productive Bills receiver today. It wasn't Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper had one catch for 3 yards, and that's just fine. Because Amari Cooper's presence is felt when he's out there, and he is still, literally today, getting his feet wet in the Bills offense. The Bills' most productive wide receiver today was Khalil Shakir, 9 catches for 107 yards. And the way he was used today was chef's kiss perfect. Mwah. It felt like the Bills were in the Seahawks' defensive huddle. Every single time that they threw a screen pass to Khalil Shakir, it was right behind a blitz where they had a wall of Bills blockers out in front of him, and he made somebody miss and got good yardage. It was beautiful. Khalil Shakir is an all-around weapon for this team. Tom Brady mentioned it multiple times today. He looks like Cole Beasley out there. He's a different player than Cole Beasley. He's bigger, stronger, and faster than Cole Beasley, and he's better in the open field than Cole Beasley. Now, I'm not saying he's a better player than Cole Beasley was at his peak, okay? Cole Beasley was a elite route runner. Catching traffic, amazing. But Khalil Shakir has a lot of those traits. And when you look at what this Bills team can roll out there, we talked about it last week, where you have Amari Cooper, Keon Coleman on the boundary, Khalil Shakir in the slot, and then Kincaid or Knox, but mainly Kincaid at tight end. I mean, that's 2020 level Bill stuff. And today it was Khalil Shakir's day, 9 catches for 107 yards, back-to-back weeks with a Bills wide receiver not named Amari Cooper going for 100 yards since the Amari Cooper trade, when prior to the Amari Cooper trade, the Bills hadn't had one receiver go for 100 yards. You think Amari Cooper matters? I'd say he probably matters a little bit. It's only going to get better, folks. Amari Cooper's pretty good. I'm not giving Amari Cooper credit for anything that Shakir did today or anything that Coleman did last week. But what I am giving him credit for is he opens up the offense and changes the way defenses have to play the Bills, not just on plays where he's out there, but how they approach the Bills with a mindset coming into that game. It was getting ugly before Cooper got here. Teams were just clogging the middle, playing single high, daring your boundary receivers to beat them. Getting Mac Hollins off the field and allowing Amari Cooper to play more and more snaps is only going to make this team that much better. Game started off with a big pass to Dawson Knox over the middle of the field. That was a beautiful play out of heavy personnel. I thought Josh Allen was dealing today. Thought he made a lot of good decisions. He looked like the way more mature quarterback between the two out there, between him and Geno Smith. Defensively, we had a big man interception. Austin Johnson catches an interception on a ball that was tipped by AJ Epinesa. Gregory Rousseau continues to have just an absolutely fantastic season everywhere but the stat sheet. And it's actually kind of comical. He has registered exactly one half of a sack since his 3-sack performance week one. But I think his week one game is maybe like his third or fourth best game of the year. He was dominant again today. A matchup he should have dominated. But these last 2 weeks, you felt Greg Rousseau on almost every play he was on the field. I know when you look at the sacks, I'm guilty of it too. You want there to be more. But he's impacting plays. His pass rush win rate, the quickness with which he applies pressure, he is as good as advertised. This is a hit, okay? I don't know that Greg Rousseau is a superstar in this league. I think you could have the debate. But I think he's somebody the Bills are going to want to extend. And I think he's somebody that, along with Terrell Bernard and then Christian Benford, are going to be the foundation of your defense moving forward. And Ed Oliver, you know, for however much longer you have Taron Johnson and Matt Milano. Like, the Bills have done a really good job of rebuilding the youth on this defense. Dorian Williams is a part of that too. What else do I want to talk about from this game? I feel like, you know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about Aaron Kromer. Aaron Kromer is the unsung hero on this team. The Bills went into Seattle today. A loud environment, slick ball, slick field. For my money, the best defensive line they've seen all year. They got sacked a total of one time. They ran the ball with their running backs. Let me go ahead and get the stats up here. James Cook averaged 6.5 yards per carry. And the Bills won the time of possession battle by 17 minutes. This was an Aaron Kromer game. And not lost in that, we have got to talk about Connor McGovern. On a day where the ball is slick and we see the Seahawks center snap the ball over Geno Smith's head in a play that absolutely turned the game early, we have to remind ourselves that as worried as we were about losing Mitch Morse, as worried as we were about Connor McGovern converting to center, and as worried as we were in training camp when beat reporter after beat reporter told us that this quarterback center snap exchange was anything but crisp, they have buttoned it up in the regular season. And they go into a loud, hostile road environment today with a slick ball. And Connor McGovern didn't get his name called one time. Not one bad snap. Josh Allen got sacked one time. The communication on the line looks good. Many are saying this is the best offensive line Josh Allen has had in the NFL. Connor McGovern's transition to center has been a smashing success. And I give a lot of credit to Aaron Kromer. This was an Aaron Kromer game through and through, from the running success to keeping Josh Allen clean to how buttoned up this offensive line was in a very loud environment. Was it pretty at all times? No, there were still a lot of pre-snap penalties. Seattle's a little bit known for that with how loud it gets there, but the Bills, unfortunately, are still known for that a little bit too much this year. That has to get cleaned up. What Aaron Kromer has done, taking Spencer Brown from a raw third-round prospect with a lot of tools to a highly paid right tackle that is a linchpin on this Bills offensive line, Connor McGovern is not making us miss Mitch Morse at all. Osiris Torrance was a rookie last year. I think he's turning it on these last few weeks. Played every snap last year. This Bills offensive line is very good, and that has a lot to do with Aaron Kromer. All right, I'm going to wrap this up here with game balls and game checks, and then we're going to spin it forward and talk about what the Bills have coming up. Game balls and game checks. No Luka tonight, but what we're going to talk about is with game balls, it is the game MVP, and game checks is the player that didn't even need to show up. They were that irrelevant to the overall outcome. So since it's just me, I'm going to go through some guys that I think were worthy of a game ball, but ultimately not going to get my game ball. First of all, Josh Allen, 24 of 34, two touchdowns, led the offense very well. I thought he made a lot of good decisions. He had the one interception, but, you know, sharp as sharp could be. And on a day where Geno Smith really struggled throwing the ball accurately and making the right decision, Josh Allen looked every bit the part of an all-pro quarterback. 283, two touchdowns. Not my game ball winner, but in the conversation. Another guy who's not going to get my game ball, but absolutely could have, is James Cook. 111 yards on 17 carries, two rushing touchdowns, 6.5 yards per carry, another 22 yards through the air, just an all-around weapon for this team. You're seeing James Cook become more decisive with the ball, but you're also seeing him be more patient with these runs. Early in his career, James Cook was almost too fast for his own good. There was a play today, and I'm trying to remember which blocker it was. It might have been David Edwards, where James Cook is in the muck, and he stops and waits for his offensive line to get in front of him, which allows him to get about 5 or 6 more yards on the run. We've seen that time and time again this year. This James Cook-Ray Davis combination is super, super fun, although I would still like to see more carries for Ray Davis, who got 6 for 29 today for an average of 4.8. Khalil Shakir could have gotten my game ball, of course, 9 for 107, just an all-around steady Eddie on this team. He was Josh Allen's number one receiver before Amari Cooper got here, and he is very much going to be involved in a big, big way going forward. I don't think it's a coincidence that Khalil Shakir and Keon Coleman's numbers have gone up since they got Amari Cooper. I don't think it's a coincidence that Dalton Kincaid has had two of his better games since Amari Cooper has gotten here. I think that the Bills having Amari Cooper is going to make them throw it more. And today they threw it 34 times versus 23 running back runs. So they came in 50-50 run pass, and you're seeing them lean more into throwing. I thought Rasul Douglas was fantastic today. He had a great pass breakup. I thought his run contain was beautiful. There's a couple times in the open field where it was him and Ken Walker one-on-one, and he got Ken Walker to the ground. Rasul Douglas has just been an absolute home run trade for the Bills last year at the trade deadline from the Packers. And he is just a very solid football player. I can't remember Rasul Douglas making a mistake. That's how good he is. And today he was fantastic. Baylen Spector played in place of Terrell Bernard and never heard his name called in a bad way. Love that. I mean, there were some plays where he was in a situation where he was supposed to cover Tyler Lockett or Jackson Smith and Jigba, and Terrell Bernard's not doing that. So we're not going to hold him to a standard that's not realistic. But I thought Baylen Spector played a really good game today. Taylor Rapp had another strong performance. I thought that Damar Hamlin had a really strong performance, particularly in run support, which has been a good theme for him. I thought Ed Oliver popped again today several times, especially in run defense. And, Austin Johnson gets the interception. But those are not my game balls. My game ball is going to go to somebody that I don't think has ever gotten a game ball on this show. I'm going to give mine to Connor McGovern. And it's kind of like a game ball for the entire offensive line. But on a day where we saw the Seahawks center snap the ball over Geno Smith's head, on a day where the ball was very slick, we saw Josh Allen drop the ball, we saw Seahawks drop the ball. The Bills snap, quarterback snap, center exchange was flawless. In a day where they're playing a very good defensive line and they're playing again in the crowd noise of Seattle, you think communication could be an issue. Josh Allen got sacked one time. I think a lot of that has to do with Connor McGovern, his strong communication skills. This has been a seamless transition to center, and I just came away from this game thinking about a lot of things, but Connor McGovern was one of the first things I thought about, and I can't get him out of my mind. I'm super impressed at how well he has transitioned to center. With the good, we got to have some bad, and it's tough on a day, man, where the Bills win 31-10 to have a game check award winner. And it's bad. I kind of jokingly wanted to do Amari Cooper because he had one catch for 3 yards, but it feels unfair because the negative connotation that comes along with game check, and I don't want to say anything negative about Amari Cooper. I thought he was just fine. I did not think this was the best day for Brandon Codrington. And Brandon Codrington has been a good player for the Bills. But I'll just do that. I'll give it to Brandon Codrington. And I still feel very comfortable with him. There was a decision he made to catch a punt basically with his foot on the 1 yard line. And you know, McDermott hates that. But even so, he still averaged 11.7 yards per punt return. And you just generally the threshold is you'd like to get at least 10 yards on those, kind of like get the drive started with a first down. And he did that. Ray Davis ended up returning 2 kickoffs. I don't know what that was all about. It could have just been about where the ball was kicked, but all in all, not the best performance by Brandon Codrington. The Bills didn't really need him anyway today, so I'll give him the game check, but it's one of the looser game checks we've given. I certainly am not going to remember this game as anything that Brandon Codrington did wrong. Sam Martin had a strong day, by the way. Sam Martin averaged 49 yards per punt. That was good to see. And Tyler Bass made all of his kicks. 1 field goal and 4 extra points. So that's better than missing. What's next for the Bills? The 6-2 Bills have a home game next week against the Miami Dolphins. I believe that game is at 1 o'clock. Let's find out together as I type this in. The Bills will play next week against the Dolphins at 1 o'clock. And, you know, this is kind of a bury the Dolphins game. And you could make the argument the Bills would have now buried the Dolphins 3 seasons in a row if they do this. Last year, they beat the Dolphins week 18 in Miami to win the AFC East in a game that many considered to be the end of the Dolphins season. It meant that they had to go play in the frigid temperatures of Arrowhead instead of going home for a week 1 playoff game and welcoming in the Mason Rudolph Steelers. But the Bills doing that put an end to the Dolphins season. And then the year before, they also ended the Dolphins season in the playoffs when they beat Skylar Thompson. So, you know, obviously it's only November 3rd, but if the Dolphins go from 2-5 to 2-6 with 2 losses to the Bills mixed in there, it's going to be looking late early. It already looks pretty late early, if we're being honest. The Dolphins are 2-5. The Jets are 2-6. When you look around this AFC, these wild card situations, I just don't know. The Colts somehow are 4-4 with Anthony Richardson playing, honestly, some of the worst quarterback I've ever seen. And I hate to say that because I liked him as a prospect. I liked the idea of him as a prospect, particularly in that draft after CJ Stroud went. He was my favorite idea as a quarterback because of how much untapped potential he had. But I think what we're seeing now, when now we've seen Anthony Richardson, we've seen Trey Lance, these quarterbacks that just don't get a lot of starts in college, it's so tough to expect them to come in and do well in the league. I'm not ready to give up on Anthony Richardson, but I am ready, if I'm a Colts fan, to put him on the bench for a while. You know, you have Joe Flacco there. You have a 4-4 football team and an AFC that's absolutely wide open as far as the wild card race goes. And today was a perfect example of a game they lost by 3 points to the Texans that if they just got remotely competent quarterback play, they're coming out of Houston with a win. They're coming out of Houston. If they win this game today, they're coming out of Houston tied for first place in the AFC South. Instead, they're 2 games back, 2.5 games back, because now they've been swept by the Texans. It's a big swing game. But selfishly, for our Bills, I am perfectly fine if the Colts do not bench Anthony Richardson, at least for 2 more weeks, because the Bills are in Indianapolis in 2 weeks. As far as the Jets, we will see them pretty quickly. They turn around and play on Thursday. Oh, and I want to mention this too, against the Houston Texans in a very interesting game for both teams. And speaking of the Texans, folks, Stephon Diggs had a very nasty looking injury today. I have not seen an update on it yet. Our friend Thigh Doctor, who works for Buffalo Fanatics, who I think is as good as there is in our space, right up there with Banged Up Bills at identifying the injuries, said when he saw the replay of it, he wanted to see a better angle, but his first thought was either meniscus or ACL. You really have to hope it's not ACL for Stephon Diggs. So, you know, I know he's a former Bill. I know he's a polarizing player, but, you know, he's still on my wall for a reason. The memories he made with Josh Allen here in Buffalo are some of the best Bills memories I've had as a fan. You don't ever want to see anybody hurt, but particularly somebody that, you know, you rooted really hard for at one point in your time. So, knock on wood, hopefully Stephon Diggs is just fine. It wasn't as bad as it looked. And hopefully somehow he's in uniform on Thursday when the Jets take on the Texans in what becomes a massive, massive, massive game for the Jets just to try to not take on water. I don't know. It feels like that they sunk their battleship today. But you never know. NFL is weird. Things have a way of turning on a dime. But the Bills are in fantastic shape. When you look at the fact that they've played a large chunk of the season without Terrell Bernard, a good portion of the season without Von Miller, a good portion of it without Taron Johnson, a good portion of it without Ed Oliver, some games without Taylor Rapp. Matt Milano hasn't been here. Khalil Shakir missed a couple games. Bills are 6-2, and you can already start printing off the division championship jerseys if you want to. But don't do that just yet. Bills have bigger goals than winning the division, and you don't want to jinx anything. Luca and I will be back next week to break down the Bills and Dolphins. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for watching. I would love it if you took time to like and subscribe wherever you are taking in this podcast. If you're on YouTube, thank you. I appreciate you. If you're on Apple, Spotify, wherever, we appreciate you taking us in. We are hoping to build our channel into your one-stop shop for all Buffalo Bills content. Luca has Sabres Chat. It's a every other week Sabres podcast, keeping up with the local hockey team. We do some NBA stuff from time to time. And then I will do a halftime show next week for Bills Dolphins Live. It'll be on Twitter and on YouTube. And then Luca and I will be back next week. Until then, I am Josh McCarty, and I will talk to you all next week on Bills Chat.